Okay, welcome back. I'm very excited to share with you now the emotion code release process and how it actually is done. Vivian here has volunteered to help us. We're going to find and release a trapped emotion from her right now. So we'll show you how this is done. The first thing that we like to do is find out what it feels like for her to be strong or weak. So I'm going to have her make a statement. Go ahead and say, "My name is Vivian."
My name is Vivian.
And just resist me now. So when she says her name is Vivian, I can press down, but she's very strong and her arm is not really weak at all. Say, "My name is Jim."
My name is Jim.
She says her name is Jim, and now if I press down, you see her arm is weak. So this enables us to tap into the subconscious mind. Now, if you look at the chart here, the first question that we're going to ask is, do you have a trapped emotion that we can release? Remember, we're talking to her subconscious mind, and the answer that comes out of her subconscious mind, in this case, just resist, ready? Do you have a trapped emotion that we can release now? And we get a yes answer there, okay? So what we need to do now is determine where this trapped emotion is in our chart of emotions. So here we have a chart of emotions. There are 60 emotions on this chart. It's divided into two columns and six rows. And it's divided up that way to help us easily find the emotion. So let's ask, is this trapped emotion in column A? Her body says no. So that means the emotion is in column B. So just keep resisting. Is it in one of the odd rows in column B? And that's strong. Is it in row 1 in column B? No. Is it in row 3 in column B? No. So that means the emotion has to be in row 5 in column B. Is that true? Yes. So now we can look at the emotions that are in that cell, and we can name them one by one and see what shows up. So I have a list of these emotions here, and so let's ask which emotion this is. Is the emotion conflict? And we get a no answer from her body. Let's ask, is the emotion creative insecurity? And that's also weak. So just keep resisting. Mm-hmm. Is the emotion terror? Is that what it is? And that emotion is actually strong. So if we go back to our chart, if you look at the chart, you can see that we've identified the column. It was in column B. We identified the row by asking if it was in an odd row or an even row. We got that it's in row 5 in column B. And then as we were going down the list of emotions, we found that the emotion was terror. So now what we can do is, if you look at the chart, the arrow goes over to the left, and you'll see that the next question is, do we need to know more about this trapped emotion? And let's see what your body says. Do we need to know more about this trapped emotion? And her body actually says no. So at this point, we can release this trapped emotion. You can face that way, turn around. And to release the emotion on another person, you just can take your fingers and just go down that governing meridian once, twice, three times. And that removes that emotional baggage from the body. Face this way. And let's try that now. And let's ask, ready? Just resist. Hold it. Okay, just resist. Good. Did we release that trapped emotion from you? Yes, we did. So at some point in her life, there was a trapped emotion of terror that became stuck in her body, and now that is released. Remember that a trapped emotion is a little ball of energy from about the size of a tomato to the size of a melon. So that's how the process works. And it's a simple matter of following the flowchart around, and then back at the top of the flowchart, we can once again ask, do you have a trapped emotion that we can release now? And her body says yes, so we'll come back to her and we'll release another trapped emotion a little bit later. Now let's talk about the correct process for muscle testing another person. Sometimes people think that muscle testing is difficult, but it's not if you know the secrets to it, which I'm going to teach you now. So first of all, when you're doing a muscle test on another person, we usually use what we call the arm test, where the person that you're testing will hold their arm parallel to the floor. Now, if you want to have extra stability there, you can place your other hand on their shoulder. Notice that I have one hand here, optionally. The other hand is here on the wrist, and or just above the wrist. In fact, if you look here on the camera, you can see this little bone right here. I call this the speed bump of the body. It's actually part of the ulna bone. And we want to have two fingers just on this side of that bump. The reason why is because if we put our fingers too far up like this, we don't get any leverage. It doesn't work very well. We want to be as far out as we can on the long bones of the arm, but we don't want to go too far. Here's the reason why. Watch what happens if we go too far. If I put my fingers here, do you want to take
yes,
that off?
Of course, yeah.
Go ahead, take that off just for 1 second, make it easier. There we go. All right, hold your arm like so. I'm going to take two fingers of my hand. I'm going to put them in this position so that this bump is just outboard of my fingers here, okay? Like you see in the picture. Now, watch this. You resist me, okay? And say, my name is Vivian.
My name is Vivian.
When she says her name is Vivian, if I'm in the right spot, I can press down and she's nice and strong. She can resist me with no problem. But if I move my fingers over that bump so that now my fingers are on her wrist, watch what happens. Say, my name is Vivian.
My name is Vivian.
She says her name is Vivian and she cannot resist me because my fingers are on the little bones of her wrist, and when I press down there, the brain gets a message that those little bones of the wrist might be injured, and so it releases all the muscles. And so if I'm in the wrong spot, I will not be able to get a good muscle test. Let's try that again. I'm putting my fingers in the correct spot. Say, my name is Vivian.
My name is Vivian.
And I can press down and she's nice and strong. But if I just move my fingers a little bit and now I'm on the bones of the wrist, try it again.
My name is Vivian.
She says her name is Vivian and she's weak. And this will happen pretty much every time. So you can try this now with a partner there. And you may want to pause the video for a moment and try this if there's someone there that's with you that you can actually try this out on. Have your fingers in the right position, as you see here, and then have them in the wrong position, and just watch what happens. Now, Vivian is going to help us to show you some more things about muscle testing. You always want to get what we call a baseline test when you're working with someone to see if they're testable or if they're not testable. So, if I were going to work on Vivian right now, I would simply have her make a statement like, my name is Vivian.
My name is Vivian.
And if I press down, she's nice and strong. My name is Bob.
My name is Bob.
She's telling a lie, and that's not true. So the subconscious mind will show us what it feels like on her arm for her to be strong or weak. And so that's a good thing to do every time you go to work on someone. Another kind of test that you can do is what we call the elbow test. So let's do this. Let me show you how this is done. Take your elbow like this, and if, for example, you're trying to test someone who has a shoulder problem, what you can do is use their elbow, and you can hold their elbow with one hand, and then use your fingers either on the back of the hand here, or on the back of the arm, or the front of the arm, it doesn't matter, either way, and say, my name is Vivian.
My name is Vivian.
She says her name is Vivian. I'm pressing down, and she's strong. Say, my name is Bob.
My name is Bob.
She says her name is Bob and she's weak. So that's just another way to get an answer. Now, when I was young, my mother had one of these devices. This is called a Norwalk juicer. She used to make juice with this machine. She would put carrots and other kinds of vegetables into the chute and push it in there with a wooden plunger, and then it would come out on the bottom as this pulpy, wet mass. She would wrap that up in a cheesecloth and then put it on the tray that you can see there on the right. And then on the far right of the machine, there's a little valve she would open, and the tray would go up. Ooh, and juice would start coming out. And it was a pretty exciting thing in my home because typically it would spring a leak at some point, and this very high pressure juice would spurt out, it hit you in the eye, or my mom in the eye, or something. And the reason why I'm sharing this with you is because this is a hydraulic press, and when you're testing someone else, you want to use a hydraulic kind of pressure so that your pressure is smoothly increasing. Let me give you an example here, okay? I'm going to share with you and show you by the tone of my voice how much pressure I'm actually applying. So hold your arm right there and just resist me and say, my name is Vivian.
My name is Vivian.
Now, I'm not applying any pressure right now, but I'm going to go ahead and start increasing the pressure. So go ahead and say, my name is Vivian.
My name is Vivian.
and I'm increasing the pressure, and she's not going anywhere, so I'm going to let go, okay? Now, so I start with no pressure at all, and I smoothly increase that pressure over the course of about a 3 count. So let's try that again. You ready? Mm-hmm. My name is Vivian.
My name is Vivian.
I'm applying pressure now. 1, 2, 3. She's not going anywhere. Watch what happens, though, if I apply that same pressure and compress the time frame. Watch what happens to her arm. Say, my name is Vivian.
My name is Vivian.
1, 2, 3. And you see that? How she weakens. Because, again, the subconscious mind gets a sudden message that something might get injured. And so the brain sends messages back, and it all happens instantly for the arm to let go. So when you're applying pressure, you start with no pressure at all, and you smoothly increase that pressure over about a 1, 2, 3 count. Let's try that one more time. Say, my name is Vivian.
My name is Vivian.
1, 2, 3. She's strong and able to withhold that pressure. Say, my name is Vivian.
My name is Vivian.
1, 2, 3. And you see that? So if you apply that pressure too rapidly, you will always get a weak response. Now, when you're testing someone and the answer is yes, it can almost feel like there is a brick wall underneath that arm. In other words, the arm will compress a little bit, but there's a point where it won't compress anymore. As you press down on the arm, the tissues in the arm and the joints will compress a little bit. Even if the answer is yes, there'll be a little bit of downward movement, but if the answer is yes, the more you press, the more resistance there will be. So say, my name is Vivian.
My name is Vivian.
Okay, I'm pressing. 1, 2, 3, and I can feel that it's almost like there's a wall there. There's resistance there. Say, my name is Joanne.
My name is Joanne.
1, 2, 3, and that wall is just gone, you see. So you can get an answer in about a half an inch of travel when you're doing this. So you don't have to push the person's arm all the way down. And as soon as you get the answer, you want to back off and get out. Thank you, Vivian.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Okay, awesome. Here are some tips for muscle testing. First of all, you want to adjust your pressure to the resistance of the person that you're working on. And if anything hurts in any way, you want to stop, because that's the body's way of telling you that you're doing it wrong. Also, you want to avoid fatiguing that person if you can. Now, sometimes people are not testable for one reason or another. There are 3 common reasons why a person may not be testable. And when a person is not testable, it's usually a temporary thing, and what will happen is their arm will stay strong no matter what, okay? Or their arm may be weak no matter what you do. 3 reasons. The first reason usually is dehydration. The second reason is sometimes that their neck is out of alignment. The third reason is that they might have some emotional baggage that's welling up inside of them to be released, and that can make them temporarily untestable. By far, the most common underlying reason for a person to be untestable is a misalignment going on in the neck. Now, the neck is made of energy, and the bones in the neck are made of energy. And so what you can do is a temporary measure. You can actually swipe a magnet or your hands down their back with an intention to correct whatever might be aligned or misaligned in their neck. And then you can try testing them again. Now, if they're dehydrated, then you might have them drink water. If there's some emotion that's coming up, that will manifest itself at some point. So, thank you for listening to this segment. Next, we're going to be talking about more of this process.